We will be looking at the book of Jeremiah this afternoon, specifically chapter 18 of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is considered as the weeping prophet in the Old Testament because he was tasked to preach repentance to the Israelite nation, and he did that. He was faithful to his task, but whenever he would preach, people would not respond, and so he didn't have any converts. He didn't have any people that followed him. He didn't have any faithful disciples. So in our standard today, he would be considered a failure. He was not a successful prophet in the Old Testament just because there was not many that listened to him. And he was considered a weeping prophet because he was crying. He was crying for repentance, but also he was crying for the loss of the souls and also their faithfulness towards God. And then in the Old Testament, God loves to use imagery to describe his relationship towards his people. And he loves to paint these pictures in the people's minds so that they can better understand what the concept of relationship is, as well as their relationship towards not only God, but also towards others. And one of those painful relationships is Hosea. Hosea was asked to marry Gomer, and that was a painful description of what their relationship with God has become. They have become unfaithful like Gomer. The other imagery in the Old Testament is that of a sheep and a shepherd. We can see that in the book of Psalms in chapter 23. God is the shepherd and the people are the sheep, and sometimes those sheep can be considered dumb, or they don't know who to follow. They don't know how to really obey God. Another picture is in the book of Jeremiah chapter 18. And we will read that part. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred, or broken, in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." And we can continue reading from verse 11 to 7 to 11. The picture here is of a potter and a clay. And just to step back and give you a bigger picture of the problem here is that they were raided by, nations. One of those nations was the Assyrian nation, as well as the Babylonian nation. And God has been warning them that if not, they will remain unfaithful to God, that this, rising Babylonian empire will come and take them, and they will become slaves of this empire. And those people did not listen, so God said, "I'm going to do something to you that you will regret, and I'm going to send you my prophet just to give you more chance of repentance." And so what we have here is that story, that narrative about Jeremiah being a prophet of God, and he didn't have any success in preaching. So as God continues to remind his people about their unfaithfulness towards God, one of the imagery that was given here in Jeremiah chapter 18 is that of a potter and of a clay. And God is the potter, and the Israelite nation is the clay. And so God said, "Go down to the potter's house." And pottery in back in the day is very common, because that's how they use the house. That's how they make bricks for their houses. And I don't know if you have gone to a pottery or to a potter's house, as probably some of you had. That's also common in the Philippines, because we love to also build our houses. Instead of wood, we build our houses using cement or bricks or any of those kinds of materials, except for wood. So Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, and as he went down there, he noticed something, that this potter was molding something in his hand. And as he was molding this, it became into a beautiful vessel, but as this vessel was about to harden, I guess, it broke. The vessel broke. And instead of our natural reaction as human beings is, if something is broken, you throw it away. This has no use anymore, so this is useless. I'm going to just throw it away. But here is a picture of a a patient potter. Instead of throwing away the broken vessel, he, I guess, poured water back into that clay to soften it so he can remold it and to recast it into new vessel. That's what he did. He poured water, softened that hardened clay, and recast it, remolded it to make a new vessel out of that. And we are the clay. We are, in many sense, broken, and also in other sense, soft, and also in other sense, hard. We are hard-headed. We are soft in that we, you know, are like flip-flops. From one day, we are faithful to God. The next day, we are not faithful to God. One day, we are praising God. The next day, we are cursing God. We are soft. We are flip-flops. We are also broken in the sense that we experience a lot of things from this world. We have losses. We have struggles with our siblings. We have struggles with our parents. Some of you have. We have struggles with our community because they don't believe the things that we believe. We have struggles with our classmates, those of you that are in high schools and as well as those in college. So there's a lot of brokenness. And so in three levels, being a soft, a hard, and a broken, we are the clay. We are soft, flip-flops. We are hard, hard-headed. We are broken. But instead of us, or instead of God throwing us away, because he found us that we are broken and we are hard-headed, and we are like a wave that's been tossed to and fro from one side to the next, he did not discard us. He instead chose to recast us, to remold us into a vessel that's more useful. From a human perspective, anything that is broken is useless. But from God's perspective, anything that's broken can be recast, can be remolded, can be reshaped. And Paul in the New Testament, in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, picks up the imagery, and he said that the old is gone, the new has come. He's not talking about the old thing that's useless. He's talking about the same thing, the old thing, but being renewed, given a new purpose. He also talked in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 about jars of clay. We are the jars of clay. That we, in each of us, is a treasure. From the outside, we're just broken people. We're soft people. We're struggling with many things. But deep inside us is a treasure that the world longs to see and to experience. And from Paul's perspective, that treasure is Christ. It's not about the vessel. It's not about us. It's about the treasure that God put in us. So when we go back to Jeremiah, what we have here is a beautiful picture of God recasting a soft clay, a broken clay, us. God is recasting us, repurposing us for his glory. And I think whenever we come to a point where we see ourselves as incomplete, or you know, you're given an opportunity, but you feel like you're not appropriate for that role or that opportunity, here is a reminder for you from Jeremiah chapter 18. That it's not about your abilities, it's about your availability. It's not about your abilities, it's about your availability. And here is a broken clay that's soft and broken and it's almost useless. But because it was available at this point, God remolded it, recasted it to have its new meaning, its new purpose. He said in verse 3, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made was marred at the hand of the potter." It was marred while God was still molding the clay. Was it God's fault that this clay was broken? Of course not. It was not God's fault. It was the nature of the clay, because that's the nature of the clay. It's not a reliable material. You need to put something into that clay. You need to add some mixture to it to make it more reliable. So it's just the nature of the clay. And as human beings, we're not totally reliable. It's just our nature. And this is not we're not saying this as an excuse. It's just an acceptance of who we are as human beings. We are weak. So it's not God's fault that we are weak. It's just us being weak. So he made it again into another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make. And so one thing that we need to consider here from Jeremiah chapter 18 is that God is, one, patient, and we talked about this, but also God is in charge. He's in charge, and he knows what is best. He molded that clay into something that probably was not the initial thought that God had in mind, or had the plan that God had in mind. It was probably to be a vase, but then he thought, well, this is now broken, I'm going to change it to something else. And so that's probably one of our journeys in life. Sometimes in our life we thought we will be this kind of person, but at one point, when we come to the point, we thought, well, this is not how I feel I thought I would be. I thought I would become a preacher, but now that I'm a preacher, I don't feel like I need to be a preacher. I thought I would become a counselor, but now that I'm a counselor, I don't feel like I'm a counselor. I thought I would be a lawyer, but now that I'm a lawyer, I don't feel like I'm a lawyer. I thought I would be a teacher, but now this is a re-identification. There are people in this world that are really successful at what they're doing, but some of them are not happy with what they're doing. And that's some sort of re-identification, re-identifying who we are. And it's not just about what we do, but it's about our connection with God. And God is saying, here's your new identity. Here's your new purpose. I'm going to make you into this new vessel so you can be that vessel that will bring glory to my name. Are you that vessel? Do you feel broken? Do you feel useless sometimes? Do you feel like you're lost sometimes? Do you feel like it's not you that's living your life, but it's somebody else? If that's you, if all these questions are running in your head right now, then there's this Jeremiah chapter 18 that reminds us about God being the potter and us being the clay. And then verse 5, it says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand." We talked about God being patient. We talked about God being in control. Now we talked about God being gracious. He said, "Can I not do to you, Israel, hard-headed nation, Israel who continues to rebel God against God, Israel who was given a lot of opportunity, Israel who was given a prominence in the world and continues to turn its back against God, and yet God continues to be gracious to this nation. It's not just a people that God, it's not just a certain individual that God is gracious to, it's to the whole nation. And yet, despite of the fact that this Israelite nation continues to be blatantly rebellious against God, worshiping other gods in the face of God, they're worshiping idols in the temple or outside of the temple, God still forgives them. In some ways, America is almost like the Israelite nation. We come out from the belief or the idea that we want to, elope that part of the world to come here and have the freedom to worship God. But look at what have we become today. In some levels, we have become rebellious. We have allowed death in many, parts of the society, like the death of babies, the death of the immigrants, the death of so on and so forth. But God is still gracious. So God is patient. God is controlled. God is also gracious, not just to the Christians here in America, but to the whole American nation. He is still gracious. And then in verse 7, "The ensign I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit, which I said I would benefit it. This is a reminder that God gives blessing, but also gives curses. So first, God is patient, and God is in control, and God is gracious. The fourth one is God gives blessings, but also gives curses. He said, if this nation, Israelite nation, he's talking about the Israelite nation here, if this Israel nation turns their back from me, then I will let the disaster happen. I will let Babylon happen. I will let Babylon come down to Judah and Jerusalem and overtake the city. And you guys will become slaves. But if you will repent, then I will bless you. So there's blessing and cursing that comes from God. And this is something that we need to keep in mind, that just because we are a so-called Christian nation doesn't mean that we have God's approval right away. That there are still responsibilities that come with that. And probably part of that responsibility is, first and foremost, is to be faithful to God so that we can have His blessing. Because if we're not faithful to God, then we can have the curses as well. We may have the curses. Potter is God, the clay is us. And there are levels of lessons that we can get from Jeremiah chapter 18. But one thing that I want to take from this, from Jeremiah chapter 18, is the lesson that I am weak, God is strong. I am broken, God is my healer. I am in doubt, but God is in control. Whenever I come to a point where I feel like I'm useless, God is there to reshape my identity as well as my purpose, so He can recast my identity in Him. If there's one thing here also that I would like to encourage you, is that if you are broken and if you're doubting yourself, I think God is reminding you this afternoon that no clay is useless in God's eyes. No clay is useless in God's eyes. Because God is in the business of renewing, recasting, remolding, repurposing clays. And we are all clays. Another point that I would like to make before I close this is that if you feel like you're the clay, in some sense, like I am clay because I'm old, God is in the purpose of refinancing your youth. You don't have to buy, skincare. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, God says, there will come a time when, by just the blinking of your eye, that you will be renewed. You will have a new body. You will have a new set of, energy in you. So this whole thing that God tells us from Jeremiah chapter 18, even though this was given to the Israelite nation, this has something for us as well. Because God is the potter, and we are the clay. God is the strong one, we are the weak one. And He is willing to share that to us. I would like to close this with a prayer, and then afterwards I'm going to offer some invitation to us. Heavenly Father, we are weak in many levels, weak with our faith, sometimes weak with our understanding of the Bible, weak with our identity, sometimes we doubt our identity. But we are so thankful that you are the potter. Not just any potter, but you are a gracious, patient, loving potter that continues to mold us, recast us, repurpose us. We definitely come to certain points in our lives where we doubt ourselves, even our faith, if we are still good, if you and I are still good, but you continue to remind us that we and you are still good, that you still love us and you still continue to be gracious to us. I pray, God, as we think more about you as the potter, that you will remind ourselves that no clay is useless. That whatever levels of maturity, of faith, of identity we are in right now, that you will make use of that. You will repurpose us, recast us, and remold us, and remodel us. I pray, God, that as we go on from today for the whole week, that you will be with us and bless us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I would like to offer an invitation to those that are struggling with many things in their lives, and part of that struggle is probably identity, that if you want to find your identity, your true identity, I think God is offering you his kingdom, and you can find your true identity, because your identity is not just based on this world, but your true identity is that connection with God. So we are inviting you to come forward, to stand up and come forward if you are that person, and find your identity in Christ.